For sure, the golden future, responses to disciples' questions, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 35.
Beloved Book One, Prince Charles, the heir to the English throne, recently spent 3 days on a small Scottish island with a local family helping on a croft. Earlier this year, he spent some time in the Kalahari Desert with Lawrence van der Post. He said on television that he talks to his plants to help them grow. The future King of England seems to be interested in spiritual matters. Have you any comment to make on this?
Prince Charles, is deeply interested in meditation. Is also interested in exploring the inner world. But in the West, unfortunately, such people are thought to be a little crazy, a little loony. His statement that he talks to his plants to help them grow have created almost a scandal all over England. They don't think that their future king should talk such nonsense although it is not nonsense. But from a man from the royal family, and particularly the man who is going to be the king, England must be feeling very insecure. is going alone in the desert or to small villages to find peace of mind, is very disturbing to the British traditional Orthodox Christian. It is disturbing to his family, to the Queen, to his father, Prince Philip, when he was in India. He had called especially Vimal Kirti and his wife Priya . They both are my sannyasins. Vimal Kirti was one of his cousins. He was the great grandson of the German emperor, and he is directly connected to Prince Philip. Prince Philip is his mother's brother. And he talked for hours about me, about meditation, about what is happening here. Vimal Kirti and Surya both invited him to come. He was very interested but very afraid of the royal family. He was especially told by Queen Elizabeth not to go to Pune. He went to see the Shankaracharya, he went to see Mother Teresa, but Queen Elizabeth was more afraid of Pune than anything. In the East, kings were sent particularly future kings to the great seers and mystics to learn the ways of inner life, because a king is not of any worth if he has no contact with himself, if he is just an extrovert. He cannot be a blessing to to his people. For years in the east, the princes used to sit in the feet of the masters to learn silence, to learn compassion, to learn meditation, to become aware of the mysteries of existence. Because the king should not only be aware of the mundane world, he should also have his roots in the sacred. Only then he is a complete man. And only then he can look after his people in all the aspects of life. But in the West, it is totally a different thing. He is being taught as if he is a little crazy, and England is worried that he is going to be the king. He has already started throwing his weight. He insists on his way of life. It is a well-known scientific fact that you can talk to the tree and you can help them to grow faster. You can help them to bring bigger flowers, more juicier fruits. Just you have to be in a friendly, loving relationship with them. They are very sensitive people, more sensitive than man himself. Latest researches about trees and their sensitivity scientifically prove a strange phenomenon. They have developed some instruments, something like cardiograms, which can depict exactly the graph of the emotions of the tree. In a silent and beautiful morning, with the sun rising and the birds singing, the graph is very harmonious. And then suddenly they bring a woodcutter. With the intention to cut that tree, and immediately he has not started cutting it, he has not expressed his thought even that he is going to cut it, but the grass starts wavering, loses harmony, so fierce anxiety, tension, the tree lost its joyous, ecstatic interiority. It seems that the tree is capable to read the mind of the man, because he has not said anything. And if the same woodcutter is brought by the side of the tree without any intention to cut it, the graph goes on harmoniously. There is no change. The tree is not worried. The man is not dangerous. He is not going to harm it. Not only that, but when a woodcutter comes with the intention of cutting the tree, a certain tree, other trees surrounding it all start showing anxiety, fear, anguish. Their graph start losing the harmonious beauty. They are not to be cut, but one of their friends, one of their neighbor, a colleague for years, is going to be unnecessarily killed. It was in the East with Mahavira that the first insight came into the world that trees are living beings and they should be treated in the same way. Vegetarianism is just a byproduct of that intuition. But it remained a philosophical hypothesis. Then another Indian man, Sir Jagdish Chandra Bose, scientifically proved that trees are living beings. He was given a Nobel Prize for his great exploration and opening a new door for future explorers. But then 50 years or more than 50 years have passed. Nobody has gone beyond Jagdish Chandra Bose. But recently many scientists around the world, in Soviet Union, outside Soviet Union, have gone far beyond Jagdish Chandra Bose and his discovery. The trees are not only alive, they are also conscious in their own way. Man should not think that he is the only conscious and intelligent animal in the world. And he should not think that this is the only type of consciousness that exists. The researchers show that animals have a different kind of consciousness and a different kind of sensitivity. Few birds, particularly bees, have been found to have a certain language. And trees have been found immensely sensitive. When the gardener comes in to water them and to nourish them, the graph on the cardiogram attached to them, it starts dancing in joy. So some ecstatic welcome. Perhaps soon we may be able to discover that they have their own kind of language that we don't understand. But Prince Charles, talking to the tree, in England will not be acceptable. He is being condemned as a little crazy. Almost, according to me, and according to all the scientific researches too, what he is doing is absolutely sane, more sane than your ordinary people are. I had an old gardener who was winning every year the competition in the city because he used to bring roses so big that people could not believe. He was a poor man, and his secret was that he treated trees not as trees but as his own children. He will talk to them. He will inform them beforehand that I am going for a competition. Don't let me down. You have to produce the biggest flower possible. And for almost 20 years, he was with me. He was winning every year. But his secret was not better gardening. His secret was a deep respect for the plant, bestowing on them a dignity . Communing them as if they are also human beings. He was offered many other jobs by richer people because they wanted to win the prizes. And I told him that you can accept if somebody is giving you more money, don't be worried. He said, that is not the question. The question is, everywhere I will be thought mad. It is only you who have never said to me that what you are doing is nonsense. You have supported me. In my whole life, you are the only person when I came to Pune. He had become very old, but he was sending messages through sannyasins that he would like to come and take care of my garden. He was worried that nobody else can take care of my garden the way it should be taken. What Prince Charles is doing is perfectly right. He should be supported, but he is being condemned all over England. We are so blind towards existence that it is not surprising. Have you ever said hello to a tree? You yourself think that you are going out of your mind. Have you ever touched a tree with love, the same way you will touch your beloved? Have you ever hugged a tree? You are missing a whole world of sensitivity that surrounds you, that is available. slowly, slowly you will start feeling that when you say hello to a tree, of course it cannot respond in language, but it will respond in some way. It may start swaying even though there may be no wind. When you touch it lovingly, just a little acquaintance is needed and you can feel that on the other side there is not something insensitive, but far more sensitive than people are. The tree will be sending its energy, its warmth to your hands. And if you hug a tree, the world is going to think you mad, but all the trees will know that there is still hope for man. There are still sensitive people, and hugging a tree you will find more sensitiveness, more lovingness than you can find even hugging your friends or your beloved. Because your friend or your beloved are full of tensions, anxieties, agonies, trees are absolutely innocent. Their consciousness is as pure as the purest sky, unclouded. We are not living in a dead world. Although it has not been discovered yet by science, but it is predictable that even in rocks you will find a consciousness deep asleep. Nothing is dead anywhere. It is whole, alive, sensitive, we are unnecessarily confining ourselves to human beings. We should spread our hands into all directions. The animals, the trees, the birds, the rocks, the oceans, and by this expansion of your experiences, your own consciousness will be evolving more and more. This universe is not a graveyard. It is full of rejoicing. Just you are death. It is full of beauties, but you are blind. All the birds are living in a different dimension of consciousness. You can have a communication with them. Man's future evolution is to expand his own consciousness in all dimensions so that he can find the oceanic life and sensitivity that constitutes the universe. To me, this sensitivity and consciousness that consists the whole existence is the only God, not to be worshipped, but to be loved. Create more friends. And as your friendship goes deeper into different dimensions, you will find yourself becoming richer and richer. Your own heights will start reaching the Everest. Your own depths will start reaching the Pacific. The new man of which I consistently dream of is going to deny God and to accept the world. But his world will be full of godliness. The old man has been a worshipper of dead gods in the temples and mosques and synagogues, the new man will find his living gods in the trees, in the birds, in the rivers, in the ocean, in the mountains, in the stars. He will transform the whole universe into his temple. Prince Charles is moving on absolutely right line. He needs encouragement from every nook and corner because England will not support him. It is one of the most dull country in the world. Most serious, long face, dead in the soul. But he should continue his meditations in deserts, in deep forests, in mountains. Let the whole world call him mad. But the new man will accept him as a pioneer.
Beloved Bhagwan, I am with Sujana for a while. Can I survive that?
Prem Sankhya. It is a difficult job you have taken in your hand. It is almost impossible to survive with Sarjana. But it is not a curse, it is a blessing. You should not make any effort to survive either. Merge with him. He is mad, but with a method. He is full of energy and love. Just don't fight with him. Become one with him. The way to survive with Sarjana is to become one with him. But that is the way for everyone who wants to love. Love is basically committing suicide. Two egos have to commit suicide to to place them in a position for merger and melting, to create the space in which love can grow. Sarjana is full of energy, sometimes too much. But an understanding woman can help him to be more centered, if she can love unconditionally and without asking anything, if she can enjoy his abundance of energy, then there is no problem. But if you want to dominate him, you cannot survive. If you want in some way to be bitchy, you cannot survive. He is not a man who will accept any handcuffs any curtailment of his freedom. Neither you have to curtail your freedom, enjoy your freedom and let him enjoy his freedom. Two freedoms can exist together beautifully, but two slave makers cannot exist together. They are after each other's neck. And unfortunately, that is the situation in the whole world. People are killing each other in the name of love, destroying each other in the name of love. Love is a creative act. It enhances both. It gives freedom. It gives joy. It gives courage, nourishment. But that seems to be only theoretical. In actuality, millions of people are suffering because of love. it is very rare to find someone who is growing because of love, who is becoming spiritually strong and integrated because of love. But at least my people should understand it. Because I don't want you to be just like the unconscious crowds that fill the whole earth. I want you to experiment new ways of living, new styles of living, and one of the most important things for new styles of living is that love should never be used as politics, as an effort to dominate the other. Love should make you humble and simple and innocent, available and open. Childlike, with no expectation. Then you can survive even Sarjano or even nuclear weapons. He is a nuclear person. I love people like Sarjana. They are so full of energy. They don't know what to do with it. They are running hither and thither just for no purpose. Just to exhaust their abundance of energy. A right woman can help him to be centered, can help him to transform his abundance of energy into something creative. A man walks into a bar looking for his friend. After finding him, he proceeds to tell him how much he hates his own wife. Why don't you have her murdered? Ask the friend. I know a guy called Artie, who will do it for you really cheap. This sounds great to the man, so he goes off to meet Artie. who agrees to do the job for $1. He asks the man where his wife goes shopping and plans to do the murder there. So Artie waits outside the supermarket until he sees the woman going. Then he creeps up behind her and in a deserted corner he strangles her. When he has finished, he notices two old ladies staring at him, so he has to strangle them too. On his way out of the market, he is caught by the store detective and handed over to the police. The headlines in the newspapers read, "Artie chokes three for $1 in supermarket." But it is not a rare case that husbands hate their wives and wives hate their husbands, although they go on saying, "Darling, I love you." The more they hate, the more they repeat, "I love you." They have to repeat it to create a facade to hide their hate. I have heard about a very great surgeon . His friend has arranged a beautiful party and celebration. As a golden jubilee of the surgeon's married life, they all were drinking and dancing and enjoying. Suddenly somebody looked around. The surgeon was not there. So his most intimate friend and advocate went out in the garden to look where he could have gone. He was sitting under a tree, very sad. The advocate said, "What is the matter? Everybody is enjoying, and it is a moment of celebration, and you are sitting here sad." He said, "Don't come near me. I may strangle you. You are the person who destroyed my whole life." The advocate could not believe this outburst. He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You may have forgotten, but remember, 25 years before, I had come to you to ask that if I murder my wife, what will happen? And you said, 'Never do it.' because you will get at least 25 years in jail. And I am feeling sad that if I had not listened to your advice today, I would have been a free man. In the name of love, people have been torturing each other for centuries, men in their own way, women in their own way. Love has not yet entered into the world. It is still in the poetries of the poets, in the songs of the musicians, but it has not become part of humanity. I hope that when we get rid of the old man and his whole so-called barbarous attitudes and approaches to life, love will become the very foundation of a new humanity. But this love will not be a bondage, an imprisonment. But a tremendous freedom. Unless love becomes freedom, you don't know what it is. Freedom without love is dry, is a desert. Love without freedom is faith, just a hypocrisy. It does not exist. Love and freedom are two sides of the same coin. It is one flower and it can blossom only when both are allowed. Dignity and respect. You can survive Sarjana. He is not a dangerous man. He has a very loving heart. If you can love him, you will find hidden in him one of the most beautiful hearts . There is no question of surviving him you can dancingly live together helping each other in creativity, in meditation, transforming each other into higher peaks of consciousness, which are our birthright.
Beloved Bhagwan, at the risk of putting my head inside the lion's mouth, I have a question. You seem to be having at least 4 egos on toast for your breakfast lately, and here comes mine. When I hear you speak of boredom, I look inside, but I can't find it anymore. I remember having it before I met you, but it has long gone. Even in my life with Nityamo, boredom is the last word that I would use. We fight, we love, we joke and giggle, we cry. We decide to pass at least 2x every month, once during my period and once during hers. Sometimes we have long faces, sometimes we beam with bliss, but boredom, never. I wonder if I'm hiding something. In fact, I'm feeling guilty that no boredom is happening. Perhaps I am so boring that I don't realize how boring I am. My life is rich and juicy. My heart is overflowing. I love her topography and geography. My God, why can't I have a boring life like other people? I must be a freak.
Devagit. First, I have to remind you, I don't take any breakfast. Breakfast is a very religious word. It means breaking the fast. I hate all religious words. I hate fasting. That's why I had to stop taking breakfast too. So you need not be worried about that. you say, I hear you speak of boredom, I look inside, but I can't find it anymore. I remember having it before I met you, but it has long gone. That's how it should be. Otherwise, what is the purpose of being with me? Boredom is a virtue for saints. And this is a communion of sinners, of all kinds and varieties. If you want to see boredom, you will have to visit heaven. There you will see ancient saints covered with dust, skeletons, playing on their harp, alleluia. Although you cannot hear anything, because when you for centuries go on repeating alleluia, you become bored with alleluia. You become bored with your harp. Heaven is the greatest accumulation of all kinds of antique, bored people. Unless you practice boredom here, you cannot enter heaven. Jesus has forgotten the real duties. Blessed are the bored, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. All the nice people you will find in hell, juicy people, poets, singers, dancers, actors, sculptors, mystics, hell is colorful. Heaven is almost like a white washed graveyard. Here there is no question of being bored. I am making every effort to destroy very roots of boredom in you. But there is something very complex to be understood. Boredom can be destroyed by making you blissful. Boredom can also be destroyed by making you utterly retarded. Retarded people don't feel boredom. Certainly, no retarded people ever approach me. I am not a magnet for them. My charisma is only for the very intelligent. For the very few. Harry and Ab had been friends almost all their life. Now, as their time on earth drew to a close, Abhi asked Harry, "Do you believe in life after death?" "I don't know," Harry said, "but we should make a pact. Whoever goes first will give the other a sign." Not too long after, Abhi died. And Harry waited for a sign. One day, the telephone rang. "Hello, Harry," came the voice. "Abhi," Harry said, "where are you?" "Well, where I am, the grass is green. The air is sweet and pure. There are beautiful mountains. I get up in the morning, have a little grass, make a little love, take a little nap. In the evening I have a little grass, make a little love, and go to sleep." "You mean you are in heaven?" "Heaven? What heaven? I am a buffalo in Montana." "Buffaloes are never bored. So there are two kinds of people who are never bored. One is the meditator and another is the buffalo type. You will not find more contented, more satisfied saints than buffaloes. They go on eating the same grass. They don't even change the variety of grass. Their whole life and you will never see even a sign of boredom. For boredom, a certain intelligence is needed. And to go beyond boredom, tremendous intelligence is needed. Devagit, you are not a freak. But the reason why you are not feeling bored, even in your life with Nityamo, is very simple. You say we fight, we love, we joke and giggle, we cry, we decide to part at least twice every month, once during my period and once during hers. Sometimes we have long faces, sometimes we beam with bliss, but boredom, never. You don't have any time for boredom. You are so engaged in tremendous revolutionary activities that reminds me the case of Neelam. Her boyfriend says he is utterly satisfied with her. That is the beginning of boredom. She is a silent, peaceful, non-fighting, loving woman. If she also starts throwing things and every night a pillow fight, and follows your lifestyle, then the boyfriend will not be utterly satisfied and he will not have any time to feel bored or any time to look for another woman. In fact, he will come to the conclusion that one is enough, two will be too much. It is a question of survival. You are not hiding anything. And you need not feel guilty that no boredom is happening. You have got the right woman for you. She will not leave you alone to feel boredom. And it is not true that you are so boring that you don't realize how boring you are. If you were boring, Nityamo would have escaped. But she is also not feeling bored. That shows certainly you both are engaged in a great adventure. I have heard about a neighborhood where every couple was fighting and shouting at each other, but they were very much intrigued by the fact that once Sardarji lived in their apartment building. From Sardarji's flat, they never heard any shouting, any fight. On the contrary, they heard every night laughter. They could not believe that what secret this Sardar has got. He is enjoying life so much, every night laughter. Finally, the temptation was too much that one day they gathered when Sardarji was coming out from his office. Surrounded him and said, "Now you have to tell us the secret. You know we all fight. You know we throw things. Our women break the pottery. But from your flat always comes a soothing laughter. Sardarji said, "It would have been better if you had not asked, because the reality is very heavy. The reality is, we have decided that she can throw things at me. If she hits, she can laugh. And if I can save myself and she misses the target, then I laugh. So 50-50 it goes. Sometimes she hits me, then she laughs. Sometimes she misses the target, then I laugh. But as far as you are concerned, you hear laughter every day. But the same Sardar was found after 10 years standing in the cold, asking for a divorce. The magistrate said, "How long you have been married?" He said, "Almost 50 years." The magistrate said, "If you had been married for 50 years, what emergency has arisen so suddenly that you want the divorce?" He said, "The fact is, we used to laugh 50-50 and he explained their arrangements, but now she laughs 100% because during 50 years she has become such an expert in hitting me that there is no way to escape. For years I have not laughed." So now it is too much. I want the divorce. Devagit, life is a very strange thing. Because you are continuously fighting, then making friends, then making love, then deciding to separate, then coming together again. This whole panorama, this whole drama keeps you so engaged, you don't feel bored. But if you were totally satisfied, if she was a woman like Neelam, silent, available, not fighting, not creating any trouble for you, not nagging you, you would have become bored. Boredom is a flat life. But when there are so many ups and downs, there is no boredom. Moreover, being with me, I am taking away all your inhibitions, all your conditioning, all your friendliness, I am making you raw and wild. When you are raw and wild and you don't live a life of a polished hypocrisy, boredom does not enter in. The primitive people don't know anything about boredom. It is only the latest trends in philosophy, particularly existentialism, which has made boredom their central theme of thinking. Jean-Paul Sartre, Jaspers, Martin Heidegger, Soren Kierkegaard, Martin Buber, all these people are engaged in a great intellectual exploration what boredom is. Once I came home from the university in holidays and I was having a book on existentialism, my grandfather looked in the contents and he said, "My God, what kind of philosophy you are learning in the university? There is not even a mention of God, soul, heaven, hell, reincarnation, and the contents are anguish, boredom, meaninglessness, futility." Suicide. What kind of philosophy you are reading in the university? I said, "This is the latest philosophy, because the man has come to a point where everything has become flat. Nothing is any more wild. Nothing is any more raw. Everything has become cultures, everybody is a gentleman, every woman has become a lady. It is very difficult to find an authentic woman. They are all ladies. Difficult to find an authentic man. They are all gentlemen. These gentlemen and these ladies are creating an atmosphere of meaninglessness, of anguish, of boredom. I am taking away from you all that can create boredom in you. My whole effort is to give you again a natural life, wild, adventurous, dangerous, then boredom cannot exist. The new man will live dangerously. He will live like wild animals, not like tamed animals in a zoo. He will live like trees in a forest, not as trees in a British garden. Even the garden in Britain is boring. My people have to learn to live like a Zen garden, where nothing is symmetrical. Where trees are allowed to grow the way they like. The gardeners are not continuously after them, pruning them, giving them a shape . One beautiful Zen story is that a king sends his prince, who is going to be the next king, to learn gardening with a Zen master. It took 3 years, and whatever he learned in the garden of the palace, he had 1,000 gardeners, he told them to do whatever he has learned to create a garden. After 3 years, the master will come. And if he is satisfied, he has passed the examination. Otherwise, again 3 years. The master came. It was a beautiful garden. 1,000 gardeners were working in it. But the prince was becoming afraid because there was no smile on the master's face. And finally he said, everything is right, but you will have to come back for 3 years. The prince said, what is wrong? You say everything is right, then why I have to come back? The master went out of the garden, brought 1,000s of dead leaves which the gardeners have thrown out. The whole night they have been cleaning the garden from all old dead leaves. So when the master comes, there is nothing to object. And the master brought them in and threw them on the garden path, and the wind started playing with those dead leaves. And a certain music with the wind playing with the dead leaves, and that the dead leaves moving all over the path. And the master said, now everything is okay. Without these leaves, the garden was looking too much man-made. Now, it looks natural. But as far as you are concerned, you will need 3 years more, because you have not learned the basic lesson that the garden should not be man-made. Man should help the trees to grow in their own way, in their own individuality. A Zen garden is a beauty which no other garden in the world can be compared with. Suddenly a pond, suddenly old rocks, trees growing in their own way. It is more a forest than a garden. But the forest has something of godliness. The garden is too much sophisticated. You cannot be bored in a Zen garden. You can be bored in the garden which Europe has invented. That is man manufactured. A man also should be a little raw, a little wild, ready to live in insecurity, ready to risk, ready to go on the untrodden path, always ready to take the challenge of the dangerous, then life is every moment an ecstasy, and boredom disappears. Devagit, you are not a freak. You have relaxed and become wild. Unsophisticated, not a hypocrite, authentic, sincere, and to be with me is to live in constant danger. Jayesh is asleep. He came late in the night. He has been thinking for years to come to me, to sit silently and to relax and to meditate. And the day he reached the commune, I was arrested and he was arrested with me. Since then, for 18 months, he has not been able to sit silently for a single moment. We have been moving around the world, being thrown out from one country to another country. And he says, my God, before I came to you, I had time at least to sit silently, and I had come to meditate, and he had to live with me in the jail. But he is not bored. He is enjoying the whole trip. A pole was working at a construction site where the boss left each day at 11 o'clock a.m. and was gone for 2 hours, this became such a regular occurrence that the rest of the workers decided to spend the 2 hours in the bar across the street. But the Polak decided to head home for some extra nookie with his wife. When he arrived home, he found his boss busy banging his wife in the bedroom. Well, he walked right out and headed back to the job. The following day, the Polak was working his ass off when everyone headed across to the bar. "Hey, Iski, are not you coming?" asked one of them. "Hell no," said the Polak. "I almost got caught yesterday." Okay, Manish.